Wonder, just like the song Brother Mike just sung, how long do we come to the end of our valleys? How long do we come to the end of our trials? How long do we come to the end of our troubles and sorrow down here? I am glad there are moments that we go through the valley in this life that God allowed us to be able to walk up on the mountaintop for just a little while. Then we're right back down into another valley. This life that we live is full of valleys, full of trials, full of mountains. As we climb out of the valley, trying to get back up to the mountaintop, it is a hard journey sometimes, Brother Mike. It is a difficult journey sometimes. But I'm glad that every now and then the Lord will allow us to stand on Zion, stand on the mountaintop, to be able to rejoice in His goodness, His mercy, and His grace. Let us know, Brother Mike, that He is the God of the mountain, but He's also a God of the valley. Amen. Because He's seen us out of this valley, put us upon this mountain. Thank God the next valley we go through, He's able to bring us out of it also. That is a promise that we can have, knowing that we serve a God that is able to take care of us. I know we've been through a very great valley through this pandemic and still going through it. I've lost loved ones and lost friends and many we've known along the way. But I am so glad, thank God, that He is the God we need. He is the one we can trust in, even in the midst of the valleys that we go through. I'm glad that one day, and amen, that I'll be able to walk up on that mountaintop, amen, a place called Zion, that heavenly Zion, amen, to get out of this troubles and trials down here, where I can be up on the mountaintop, amen, forever and ever. What a day that's going to be. But until that day comes, we have a responsibility, amen, to the Lord to be able to live a life that we need to live, amen, here below, even in the midst of the pandemic, even in the midst of the violence, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of what we are dealing with as children of God. Turn your Bibles, if you would, the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, I want to read verse 1 through 18. Bear with a little lengthy reading, but I feel like it's what we need to read, amen, to get the text of this scripture. Amen. Brother Perry, if you listen to the broadcast this morning, began to talk over there in the book of James, talk about a double-minded man that was unstable in all his ways. He began to talk about, amen, how that, amen, if we are all true to ourselves, we realize that it's not somebody else that he's talking to or talking about, but it's you and I. Every one of us from time to time deal with that unstable man, deal with that double-mindedness, amen. Deal, amen, with this old flesh we deal with each and every day. And because of that, we find ourselves living a defeated Christian life. We find ourselves, Brother Jimmy, walking, amen, in a struggle in a Christian walk. But I am so glad the Word of God gives us, amen, a way to be able to walk in the victory, walk in the power, walk in that God will allow us to walk in, that we might allow Him to do the living in us, to be able to live the life that God wants us to live, to be able to live the life that Brother Mike made mention that we need to be living in the time that we're living in. We need folk that know what it is to live in the power of a resurrected life, to live in the power of a life, amen, that's shown forth the love and the power of the Holy God. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, if you like to stand, please do so. If you can't, that's understandable. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe what? That we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And that he died in the sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed in the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should be in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I ask, Father, that you reach down. Lord, help us, Lord, to be able to share, God, this passage of Scripture way that should have us to. God, in my heart might receive the help. My soul might receive, amen, that we need from this Scripture. God, those that are listening, those that are tuned in, those that are here, God, may we receive in a way that we need to. God, we pray. We ask, Lord, that you reach down. God, touch. Do what needs to be done. Father, we ask this in our precious name we pray. Amen and amen. If you look back at chapter number 5, we talked about that, I believe, last Sunday morning, if I'm not mistaken. Amen. We began to talk about being justified. Amen. By faith, we have peace with God. We have access into the grace that wherein we stand. It is through faith. It is through the work of grace. And Paul is dealing with in chapter 5, talking about the difference between the law and grace. And how the law, Bible 7, verse 19, was by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20 said this, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It was the law that God gave to Moses, how that brought the sin of mankind, amen, to realization. It was that law that exposed sin. But the law, amen, only exposed sin. It could not do away with sin. But I'm too glad, thank God, it was through the life and the death of one whose name was Jesus, how that grace did much more abound. It is that grace wherein we stand, that we preach about, but where sin of man and great did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thou said for the wages of sin in death. But I am glad the life that we have in Christ as Christians, it comes because of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. I am so glad it was that grace, amen, that spoke life to my heart. It was that grace that spoke life to your heart. Have you been born again by the grace of God? You see, it was through the law, amen, that sin was recognized, that sin was brought, amen, to forefront, showing our weakness. Amen. But the Bible said, not by the works of law which we have done. The law could not make the covenant thereunto perfect. And the law would just reveal sin. I'm glad the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that came to the gift of salvation, of the plan of salvation, did what the law could not do. The law could not save a person. The law only condemned that person, showed their wickedness, their need of a Savior. But the law could not save them. Put it into perspective. I heard a message one time of Dr. Roloff. Many of you may know Dr. Roloff. Great preacher. He preached upon, amen, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. In that message, he used the allegory, used the illustration, amen, of going to Dr. Law. Amen. And the individual went to Dr. Law and he began to look at his condition. Dr. Law, amen, began to look and down to see the charts and all the results of the blood work. And he said, I see the problem. The patient asking Dr. Law, what's the problem? Amen. You've got a sin problem. Amen. The patient asked Dr. Law, is it serious? He said, yes, sir. What's the consequence, Dr. Law? Dr. Law said, well, I'm going to be honest with you, it's death. It's just simply death. Amen. There's no amen. It's death. He said, what can you do for me? Is there anything that can help me? Amen. Dr. Law said, well, I don't know only one thing. He said, can't you help me? Dr. Law said, I can't help you. But he said, I can tell you about a doctor that can't help you. His name is Dr. Grace. You see, Dr. Law could not, amen, help that one. That Dr. Law could not help us in the midst of our sin. But thank God, Dr. Grace stepped in and did what Dr. Law could not do. Grace stepped in and brought salvation to mankind that Law could not do. Let's get to Scripture. What shall we say then? Verse 6. Shall we continue sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul was speaking to the church here in chapter 6. Speaking to the church at Rome was encouraging them in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understood all too well the battle between the flesh and the spirit. If you look in chapter 7, you'll see what I'm talking about. He said, that I would do, I do not. Amen. Talking about his sin that lies in me to keep me from doing what I want to do. He said, and it was a struggle. I'm so glad the Bible said that we see that. But in chapter 6, we are given a key. Amen. That we need to live that resurrected life. Paul is telling the church the antidote or the key to be able to live that glorious, powerful life as a child of God that folks may see Jesus in us. And Brother Perry was sharing on the broadcast about the unstable man. And I couldn't help but be amazed about, amen, how what he shared, amen, and what the Lord allowed us to share this morning goes hand in hand. He talked about our troubles and our struggles. Here Paul has given us, amen, the example of what we need to do to be able to overcome that unstableness. Amen, to be able to be that one that is walking in power and victory. Amen, not be swayed about with everyone, the doctrine, not be swayed about in their unstable way, in their unstable mind, their unstable life. Brother Mike, his testimony he gave, amen, just short testimony and parable. Amen. There were times that we need to be able to overcome that unstableness of our mind and our heart. Amen. And live the powerful, resurrected life that we need to live as a child of God. It is the day and age that we live in. Folks are looking for something that is real. Folks are looking for something, amen, that's settled. Folks are looking for something that, amen, that is powerful enough to see them through what we're dealing with on a daily basis. Paul is telling that. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we either dead to sin and live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should also we also should walk in the newness of life. Paul said here in verse 4, there's a realization that we need to ponder, a realization that we need to think upon. Paul is simply saying, amen, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like what? Amen, I made the mention of not long ago in a funeral. Amen, the Bible said, I believe it was this past week at Dunning. Amen, or in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he was talking about the victory of the resurrected life in chapter 15. There were folks there that were trying to deny the resurrection. Amen. Paul said, listen, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. If he didn't get up out of the grave, our faith is vain. But Paul said, because he did get up out of the grave. But the Bible said, but now is Christ risen. And because he got up out of the grave, thank God he became victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's what Paul said to the church of Corinth, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. And that's what Paul is dealing with when he's talking to the church here at Rome. He said, listen, it's something we need to understand, we need to realize. when Jesus got up out of the grave, amen, and proclaimed victory, amen, he proclaimed victory not only for himself, but for each and every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God. It is a victory to be able to live the life, amen, that we cannot live. The realization we need to ponder. First of all, we see the purpose of the resurrection. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. You see, the purpose of the resurrection is to bring forth life. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the purpose of the resurrection is to bring forth life. When someone is resurrected, it's being resurrected from an old state to a new state. Or to life, from death. Thank God, I said, glad Brother Perry, when I got saved by the grace of God. I was dead in trespasses and sin. But thank God, I was made alive through the wonderful plan of salvation. Amen. And because that Jesus got up out of the grave, he gave us the power to live that life in him. It's something that we need to ponder. It's the purpose of the resurrected life. Revelation 4:1-18 says this. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul understood the only way that he could live, amen, that powerful resurrected life was to allow Christ to do the living in me. For me to live is Christ. The only way that I can live the powerful life that God wants me to live as a child of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, we can't live it through our own strength. We can't live it through our own wisdom. Amen, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ and his direction that we can live the life, amen, and show forth the power of a holy God. Problem is down here, and can I hold up my hand and say I'm number one in this respect? What we're trying to do, we're trying to live the life of the Christian life through our own strength, through our own wisdom, through our own efforts. Honey, you can't do it. You can't live the life that you need to live in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, by trying to walk according to this old flesh. You cannot do it. Amen. This flesh is enmity against God. It cannot please God. The only way we can live the life that God wants us to live, amen, to be victorious in a Christian walk, is to allow him to live in us and realize, amen, for me to live is Christ. The only way I can live that powerful, amen, that influential Christian life that I need to live for Christ is for the Lord Jesus Christ to do the living in me. Purpose of the resurrection is to bring forth life. Romans 6:4 said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism in death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not only see the realization we need to ponder the purpose of the resurrection, but we see the power of the resurrection. What is that, preacher? To live that resurrected life. To live the life of victory. To live a life of power that we need to live. Here's the key. Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, the great man of God that he was, understood what it meant to live that victorious, that powerful life. It was to allow Christ to do the living in him. He said, the life that I live in his flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, listen, it is the fact that Jesus got up out of that grave. It is the fact that that resurrection that gives us the power. Even so should we walk in the newness of life to live that life. It is Christ. You see, the purpose was to bring forth life. The power, amen, of the resurrection is to live that life. Romans 7:6, but now we delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. You see, there's no way that we could live the life that we need to live according to the law. Now let me say this. There's many folks out there that say, well, preacher, as long as I can live the law, I'm going to be all right. Can I say you better not trust in that? Are you saying, praise you, lawyers? Are you telling me not to trust in the Bible? No, sir. Bible says there's no way. We see it in the scripture here that I just read. The Bible says, but now we are delivered from the law. That being dead when we were healed, that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. If we serve according to the law, we cannot be made perfect. The law breaks forth the realization of sin, but it cannot take away sin. Honey, you can live that law to its letter. Honey, but chill. The Bible says you failed in one point, you failed in it all. There is no way. Can I say this again? God gave the law. To Moses, understanding. That there was not one person other than the Lord Jesus Christ that could live. Fulfill the complete. Law, every jot, every tittle. There was no one that could come up and fill the whole letter of the law. He could not do it. That's why God had that plan of salvation. That could do what that law could not do. The Bible said the law could not. Could not. There's no way that it could bring salvation to your soul and mine. It could not do it. The law revealed sin in their life. But Jesus, the plan of salvation, brought forth that life. Not only did he bring forth that life, but he brought forth power to live that life. To you and I, the child of God. This realization we need to ponder. We see the purpose of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. We see the picture of the resurrection. The Bible says that word phrase is buried with him and planted together with him. Speaks of our identification as the child of God. Now, believer baptism is something. Sometimes it's been misunderstood. Believer's baptism cannot. Let me say this. The believer's baptism cannot, save an individual. The believer's baptism is a picture. It is a picture of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That he died for sin. That he rose again the third day, sitting by the hand of the Father. Just like I just got through saying, it was, when Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. My chapter, the plan of salvation in Peter, we're saying we died with him. The believer's baptism is to show forth to the world. As we walk into that water, we've been buried to sin and been brought alive. To walk the life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's showing forth, it's a picture, of what Jesus did when he died on Calvary's cross. It's a picture of what Jesus did when he got up out of that grave. It's identifying us with him in his death. It's identifying us with him in that resurrection to be able to live the life. And even so should we walk in the newness of life. It is that picture. Not only see the realization we need to ponder, but we see verse 11. I like what he said. Let me go ahead and read this. Y'all bear with me. Now he died, he is freed from sin. But if we, verse 7. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And I like what it said here in verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. Now I like that. Why is that significant, preacher? He didn't have to. And if you look in the Mosaic law, you'll find out it was a ritual that priest had to do each and every year over and over again. That priest had to go into the innermost holy of holies and offer up a sacrifice, a sin sacrifice for the children of Israel, and for himself. And that sin sacrifice, didn't take away that sin. What it did, it continued to cover that sin. It's still there. It continued to roll it forward until that perfect sacrifice that would take away sin. It would be a confirmation. That was the plan of salvation. He died for the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future. You see, there's a reckoning we need to receive. Preacher, what is that? Look what it said. Verse 11. Likewise reckon. For now he died unto sin once. Now catch this. But that he liveth unto God. Notice that word once. And then notice what it said, likewise. He said, just as the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, died once, rose again, and liveth forevermore, even so should we also, amen, walk in that same manner. The Bible said, likewise, reckon are ye also yourselves to be dead indeed in the sin. As a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ done, that word reckon means to count, to calculate, to take inventory. It's an accounting term. It means to add up all the facts and come to a proper summation, to a proper conclusion. Because that Jesus died once to sin, because that he rose up out of the grave and liveth forevermore. Hey, because of that, he said we need likewise, we need to reckon ourselves or take into account that we are dead to sin also. When we died out to sin, when we nailed an old-fashioned altar and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save our wretched soul, and we died out to sin. But thank God when we got up to be able to walk in the newness of life, we need to reckon ourselves just as Jesus died to sin once. We need to realize that we have died to sin also, not to live on the power or the penalty of sin. You see, like what the scripture said, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe also. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed into sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, let not sin. Amen. Let not sin. We have a responsibility to not allow sin, amen, to have authority over us, because it does not. Amen. We've died out to sin. Because of that, we have victory over sin to be able, amen, to live according to the will of God, to not allow sin, amen, to have authority over us. Don't get me wrong. Hunting along with this old flesh, hey man, we're approached by it each and every day. But honey, we're not to allow that sin to have authority over us on a daily basis. Honey, we're to deny it. Say, no, you don't, just like this. I've used this illustration. Let me use it one more time. I work for Scottsboro Electric Power Board. Kim works there too. They signed my paycheck. As long as they signed my paycheck, I'm under their authority. In other words, simply saying, what they tell me to do, amen, I've got to do according to the job description. Why? Because they pay me. They have authority over me when it comes to what I do for them, amen, each and every day. Just like each and every one of you that has a job the same way. But if you are relieved from your job, for some reason or another, where you choose to quit, or rather they decide they just don't want you working there no more, when you're relieved of that position, when they don't sign your paycheck no more, honey, they ain't got authority over you. Honey, they can't tell you what to do. They can't tell you how to do this. Honey, when you're not employed by them anymore, they don't have authority over you. They don't sign your paycheck anymore. Y'all know where I'm going to. Thank God I got saved by the grace of God. I was in the authority of sin. I was in the authority of the devil. I didn't live according, amen, to the lust of this flesh and what this flesh wants to do. But when I got saved by the grace of God, I changed employment. Amen. I don't work for sin no more. It don't sign my paycheck no more. Thank God I've been employed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He signed my paycheck. I'm not in authority of sin anymore. I don't have to give in to it. I don't have to answer to it. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to be fall under the spell of his power anymore. That's what Paul is saying right here. Sin ain't got dominion over you no more. He don't sign your paycheck no more. Because he don't sign your paycheck, you ain't got to give in to it. You ain't got to be obedient. You ain't got to answer to it. Hey, man, you're under new authority. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that signed your paycheck, the one that gave you life everlasting, he is the one that we are in authority of. That's what we need to reckon. It is our passing in our relationship, our dying out to sin. Romans 6:11, likewise reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. It is our passing in a relationship. But also, that part of verse 11, you see, it is our possessing. Bible says, like I was reckoning you also, you're said to be dead indeed in sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is our possessing. Likewise, reckon ourselves to be dead in the sin, but alive unto God. John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Thank God it is our passing. I reckon ourselves dead in this world. Amen. Sin don't sign our paycheck anymore. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that said our paycheck is Him who we belong to now. Then he says in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. You see, the record we need to receive not only our passing in the relationship, our possessing, but it's our precaution he gives us, verse 12. He, because, amen, sin don't sign your paycheck. Because, amen, you under new employment, new authority. It's because today is a precaution we need to take each and every day to not allow sin to reign in our body. That word reign simply means to have control of. Amen, don't get me wrong. Sometimes there'll be old thoughts come to your head, amen, and you know sin. Amen, but not allowing it to reign simply means getting it out of there. Amen, putting it under. Taking every thought captive, amen, into the willingness of the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Amen, or subjection to Him. But it is the reign we, amen, walking the way we need to walk. It's saying, amen, don't let sin reign in your body. But when sin presents itself, get rid of it. Put it under submission. Amen. Remind him this. Amen. When that old evil thought comes in your head, amen. Maybe that anger seems to rise, and maybe you won't tell your boss off, tell your coworker off. Remind yourself then. Hey, wait a minute. Sin, you don't sign my paycheck. You don't sign my paycheck. I ain't got to listen to you. I ain't got to do what you tell me to do no more. I will. Amen. I make the decision to not to allow you reign in my body, to reign in my life. Paul has given us instructions to how to live that powerful, resurrected life. Can I say, I found myself sometimes allowing sin to reign when it don't supposed to reign. Because that's when I fall and I fail, when I allow sin to do, or to, amen, lead me to do what I know I don't need to do. But you see, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to listen to. Look what it said. Not only we see that reckoning we need to receive, we see also in verse 13 that revealing that we need to profess or to cry out to profess. First of all, for 13a, neither sin yield ye your members as I. Let me back up. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness but sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Catch this. Here's the revealing that we need to profess. First of all, we need to realize, amen, we need to profess that we are not, amen, that we will not yield ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness. Amen, we need to profess to the whole world, profess to ourselves, profess to the devil, to listen, I'm not going to give myself to walk according to the will of this flesh. Amen, that's not who I am. That's what I'm not. I wanted to walk in the will of the flesh anymore because he don't sign my paycheck. I don't have to give in to him anymore. Right. Who we are not. Romans 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? John 15:19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Honey, we don't belong to the world anymore. We're not walking in, amen, in the lust of this flesh, lust of the world anymore. Amen, we're not that individual. The Bible says, and therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Who we are not, we need to realize, amen, who we are not. We are not to give ourselves as an instrument of unrighteousness anymore. Revealing, we need to profess is who we are not. Verse, the latter part of verse B, 13, latter part of the verse, it said this, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your remembrance as for instruments of righteousness to God. I like what he said in John 17, verse 20, when Jesus was praying for you and I. Jesus said this, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, can I say this? Hey, man, folks, an old devil whispering in your ears, look, ain't nobody care about you. Ain't nobody praying for you. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's a lie. Here the Bible says that he, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, was praying specifically for each and every one that's sitting in this building this morning, praying specifically for each and every one that's listening on social media this morning. He prayed for you and I.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Look what he said again. Hey, no, the Bible said in John chapter 17, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He was talking about those that would believe on him through the word that the apostles were given to share forth to the world. That is you and I, the word of salvation.
Yes, it is.
The devil reminds you nobody's praying for you. You tell me he's a liar. I say, yeah,
right.
The Lord's praying for me.
Yeah.
The Lord himself spoke my name, spoke truth through a prayer to me. You see, it is to realize who we are. Bible said, let me go ahead and read a lot of part of that verse, the whole part of that chapter. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Listen, here's why Jesus was praying for you and I. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. But that they may be one. Y'all want to shout, go ahead. Even as we are one. And I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, the world had not known me, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them my name, thy name. And will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Hallelujah. Thank God that's who we are. We are in Christ Jesus, and he is in God. And we're in him, and he's in us. Thank God that means, thank God, I ought to walk in the victory of that power and that relationship and that position.
Yes, sir.
That's who we are. You see, realization we need to ponder, regular that we need to perceive, revealing that we need to profess. Verse 17, verse 18. And I'm done. Paul said, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yourselves service to obey his servants ye are, whom you obey, whether sin and death or of obedience to righteousness. Verse 17 says this, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. You see here the rejoicing that we need to proclaim. What rejoicing is the work of salvation, verse 17 and verse 18. We were the servants of sin, but we have obeyed from the heart that doctrine of salvation that God made available to us through his Son. That we, amen, came out from under, amen, the employment of sin, but thank God came under the employment of the Spirit of life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God it is a work of salvation. Psalms 18:46, the Lord liveth and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalm 20, verse 5, the psalmist David said, we rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petition. It is in him that we have that salvation. It is the rejoicing that we need to proclaim to the world that we live in. Hey, I've got victory. You want to know how to overcome what you're dealing with, I can tell you, show you the way. You want to know how you can have peace that passes all understanding? I can point you to the one. Hey, man, you want to know how to be able, how to find help in the midst of your sorrow, to find comfort in the midst of your burdens? I can point you in the right direction. It is that we need to proclaim. Hey, man, the rejoicing that God has put it in our hearts. It's the same rejoicing we need to share with those that are deep in sin and are burdened by sin and are bound by sin, and show them a way out. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be able to live that life in Christ. Allow Him to live in us to such a point. Now catch this. I want you to catch this now. To the point, hey man, Brother Mike, that folks can see Christ living in us so powerful, so prominent, so prestigious, to the point, hey man, they can come up to us and say, Brother Mike, boy, I just see something about you that I want. Tell me how to get it. Folks, that's the life we need to be living. Where folk can see it so wonderful, so powerful, the peace so prevalent in their life. Hey, man. Hey, man, in the midst of their sorrow, in the midst of their trouble, how they see the joy that we have. The joy that we possess, even in their trials, even in their storm, that they won't say, wait, I just don't understand how you can be joyful, how you can be happy, how you can rejoice in what you're going through. Hey, man, I don't know what you got, but I want some of it. You see, that's the life we need to be living. When folks can see something in their life that they don't just look around and see in this world. See something that brings them hope. See something that points them toward the help. See something, hey man, that gives them, hey man, that hope that they need in their life to know that they can get out of their bondage of sin. Hey man, and walk in the same victory and the same power that you and I are walking in or should be walking in. That's what Mike's testimony was given. We're living in a darkened time. Folks need to be able to see, look to you and I, and see a light in our life. That they may come to you and I. Say, preacher, I've been watching you. Sister, I've been watching you. Boy, you just got something that I need. Tell me what it is. Tell me how to get it. When's the last time somebody's come up to us and say, I've been watching you, and there's something about your life that I don't see in everybody. It's a peace about your life and a joy about your life that I need. How long has it been somebody's coming up to you and ask you that? Ask you why you're so happy. Ask you why you're so joyful. Ask you why you've got such a peace about you. Honey, in the time that we're living in the pandemic and the social unrest and the political uneasiness that we're dealing with right now, honey, if we as Christians can walk in the peace of, hey man, the work of salvation, and folks can see that peace in their lives, honey, it'll shine out like a beacon. Beep, beep, beep. Why? Because so many folks are troubled. So many folks are in need. So many folks are struggling, looking for peace, but they don't have it. I'll share this, and I'll close. You've heard me use this illustration many times before, and I'll use it again. Pastoring down at Pine Island Baptist Church in Marshall County many years ago. I was preaching a message on peace, the peace of God, knowing that peace that passes off all understanding. But as I gave the invitation, I'll never forget, there's a young lady, probably in her 30s, stepped out of the aisle, came down the altar there at Pine Island Baptist Church. And I knelt down beside her. I said, honey, can I help you? She said, preacher, I want to know that peace that you're preaching about. You see, folks, that is the kind of message that we need to be sharing with our life. Is that folks may see the peace of God in our life because of the power of that resurrected life, because of the power that God gave us to live the life, because we're no more under the employment of sin. Sin don't buy our paycheck, don't sign our paycheck anymore. Thank God. Hey, man, we have somebody else in His life. In the Lord Jesus Christ that signed our paycheck, we are under His authority now. And when we live and walk in that authority, that peace, that power, that profession of Jesus Christ should be Amen. So prevalent in their life that folks can see that peace, that joy. Amen. That will want them, make them want to have what we have. It is that we need to be professing. It's that we need to be proclaiming. Every head bowed, that's the message.